rejoicing. That's why it's called Simchat Torah, because you have lots of joy on this occasion that you complete that day cycle of Torah reading for a year. And it's the end of the holiday of Chag Zman Simchatenu, our season or time for rejoicing. And I think it would be a good transition from Simchat Torah to the Hasidim. Why? Because for the Hasidim, every day is Simchat Torah. The idea is that one has to be always in a state of Simchat Torah, of rejoicing with the Torah and rejoicing in general. Hasidim, the Hasidic movement started in the at the end of the 18th century. The Baal Shem Tov lived from 1698 to 1760. For the musicians among you, he is the contemporary of Bach and Handel. But he was not necessarily related to them in any way. But what is very interesting is that the Baal Shem Tov came after a period of great crisis in the in Jewish life, especially in Eastern Europe, because of the pogroms, of the Khmelnytsky pogroms, and because of some other problems that they had with a false messiah, Shabbatai Tzvi. Now, you should know that Amsterdam was one of the great centers of Shabbatai Tzvi messianism in the 17th century and even in the 18th century. But that's beside the point. That created a big crisis and big depression after everybody realized that Shabbatai Tzvi is not the Messiah and the redemption is not coming. And so the Hasidim came in the aftermath of this and tried to rectify things, tried to bring joy into the life of Jews. The Hasidim based their theory of joy on Kabbalistic sources. They were influenced by the Kabbalistic school of Tzfat, Safed, that flourished in the 16th century and wanted to bring redemption through use of Kabbalistic procedures. Hasidim turned the idea around and said, instead of us trying to create redemption in the world, instead of us trying, as the Kabbalists tried, to redeem God, that means to create such things that would help God redeem himself, or as you want to wish, you want to say that, the Hasidim said, first of all, we have to redeem ourselves. We have to redeem ourselves, and whatever Kabbalistic procedures there are, instead of redeeming the cosmos, we better redeem the microcosmos, the human being. And so they went into human psychology, into human understanding of human nature, and created a practice that was, what's the main purpose of which was to take out human beings from the what they call the abyss, at the home, the abyss of melancholy and sadness into joy. The greatest sin that one can sin is to be in permanent state of melancholy. One has to try to find ways to get out of the melancholy, and our various practices that the Hasidim had and still have to do that. One of the ideas is to be together, and I think I mentioned that at another occasion here, is to create a society of people. Society that in which everybody supports everybody else. The other way is to have a tzaddik, a rabbi, who has great merits, help us pray and help us directing our lives. So the tzaddik was usually from the descendants of the Baal Shem Tov, or at least that's what they thought. And he was understood to have powers that usual human beings do not have. And therefore, to communicate with God, you could do in two ways, and you had to do in two ways. One is a direct communication with God, and then through the tzaddik. Your communication with God is essential. But since your soul is much less developed, or less sacred, or whatever you want to call it, than the one of the tzaddik, therefore your communication with God is not full until you go through the tzaddik. That means that what you do is you come to the tzaddik for an interview, you tell him about your plights, your troubles, and some whatever is on your mind, and he prays for you. You usually do it by writing a little piece of paper enumerating what you should be prayed for. And then you give a certain amount for the community for that, and the tzaddik is praying for you. So the stand of the tzaddik of the today they call him Admur, Adoneinu, Moreinu, Verabeinu, our master, our teacher, and our rabbi.
But it's not like you're paying for that service, right? That someone is going to pray for you. You're paying for it.
In a way, there is.
Strange, for a church or a synagogue. Or
yeah. Look. In a country which is very much Protestant by nature and feeling, our Judaism is really very much like that, a liberal Judaism. It's unheard of. I mean, this practice is not a practice that you want to proceed with, and yeah. Well, we'll have
If you don't pay a contribution to the community, you pay for the services you use. And you don't pay the rabbi, you pay to the community.
Yeah. Right? No, that was the question. Yeah, because he did say you pay to a community, but...
Yeah. No, the question is, should you go through an intermediary person? That's your question. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in reform movement, they never accepted this kind of process, procedure. And also the non-Hasidic Orthodoxy does not go through that. It's only the Hasidim that are, they go through that. So there is the community, and there is the rabbi who is in the center of the community. Now, the community itself is supposed to support each other, and help each other get out of melancholy by using certain practices. And some practices can come from the most crude things that you could imagine to the most noble things. So, for instance, drinking vodka in a Hasidic society is considered a very good thing. Vodka helps you, the spirit of the vodka helps you raise the spirit of the soul. So it's the most basic things. Not everybody does that, but people do drink in Hasidic circles. But they drink together and they drink lechaim and so on. And the idea is to encourage one another. Now, above that, there is. There is the confession of your problems within friends. And the idea there is that when you talk about your problems with your friends, they can help you come out of melancholy into joy. Then above that, there is storytelling. You can tell a story, especially if the story has a moral value in society, and that idea of storytelling is also uplifting. Above that, there is music and sometimes dance. You sing together. And when you sing together, you are able to overcome all sorts of hardship. Because the music is very important. The music is God's gift to human being in order to uplift them and bring them up to the source of their soul. I will explain what is meant by the sources of their soul, but in the meanwhile, let us sing a Hasidic tune. A very simple one. We'll start with the last page in your examples, page 9. Tov li Torat Picha me'alfei zahav v'chasef. Your Torah, God's Torah, is better for me than 1,000 gold and silver pieces. So that's a verse from the Psalms, and let's sing it. Tov li, tov li, Torat Picha, me'alfei zahav v'chasef. Tov li, tov li, Torat Picha, me'alfei zahav v'chasef. Tov li, tov li, Torat Picha, me'alfei zahav v'chasef. Tov li, tov li, Torat Picha, me'alfei zahav v'chasef. And that's repeated many, many times, and sometimes in Yiddish. And the words in Yiddish is Geitzarein, Geitzarein, Nechomalach, in Yiddish, Neshomalach. That means, come in, come in, O consolations.
Can you say it again, please?
Just a minute. Come in, little consolations, in Jewish little souls. Geitzarein, Geitzarein, Nechomalach, in Yiddish, Neshomalach. So the melody goes, Geitzarein, Geitzarein, Nechomalach, in Yiddish, Neshomalach. Geitzarein, Geitzarein, Nechomalach, in Yiddish, Neshomalach. That's right. Gezarain, Gezarain, Nechomalach, in Yiddish, Nechomalach. Gezarain, Gezarain, Nechomalach, in Yiddish, Nechomalach. And finally, they sing it without words. Lai, 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 la, 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 la. Now repeating it many times, and sometimes these songs are used for dance. This kind of raises your spiritual status, and you go gradually into some kind of ecstasy. Now, in order to understand what I mean by that, we'll hear now a melody, a very simple Hasidic melody, sung by Hasidim, the way they sing it. So we need the here, not the video, but the